to bait boxes. And of course, bait boxes in Egypt.
Dale Ernesto, 31st March.
So the chiddush yesterday was. The
speaker couldn't come today, waiting for a new speaker.
Wherefore, because they were already partly freed, and therefore to remember how bad it was in the previous generations, they didn't have it. Let's look again at what the message behind Matzah is. What is Matzah in Chametz? There's a very interesting verse in the Pasuk in this week's parsha, and that is, Kol se'or v'chol dvash, mimenu lo takrivu yishem Hashem, l'korban, I shouldn't quote it by it, l'korban reishit, they're all right, but they are not all right for going on to Mizbeach. What's wrong with Chametz and Dvash on the Mizbeach? And I think that is where we need to look at the role of Chametz and of Matzah in the Yetziat Mitzrayim. If there is a speaker, I shall...
He's not here. Anyway. Okay. Carry on.
The idea of Matzah was that because of the rush, there was no time to bake it, to bake bread. But what the Matzah really indicates is the process of transition from one state to another. Whereas the Chametz is the opposite. It is the process of having arrived, being completed. Chametz is a completed completion of the process. So the Matzah is the process of becoming, while the Chametz is the process of the existential process, the process of being. When you bring a korban, you do not normally bring a korban because we are fine, we have arrived. That's not the nature of the korban. You bring yourself in the spirit of becoming, in the spirit of I'm still developing. Please accept me as I am. Korban, makriv yourself. And that is the beauty of the idea of not having chametz or dvash. Because chametz and dvash, in their nature, are the things which represent having arrived and being grateful for what you are, and that's why you bring it in Shtei Alechem. You don't bring it on the Mizbeach, you bring it Lekorban Reishit, which is on Shavuot, and you bring it as Dvash as well as Bikurim, which is, we're talking about Dvash of dates, and that is perfectly okay as a bringing, but not on the Mizbeach. On the Mizbeach has nothing to do with having arrived, of being completed. The Mizbeach is representative of becoming. That's why even the mincha that is brought, which is supposed to be on the Mizbeach, but the Kohen eat it, must not be baked as chametz, because it's part of lechem gavoa. And the lechem gavoa is still, remember, the process of becoming. So that matzah, that is a different look at matzah. The matzah is representative of the exodus, of the going out, not only of the lechem oni in Egypt, that was on Erev Pesach, but the process of going out is represented by the period between Chatzot of the night and the Chatzot of the next day, when they were actually Yosim B'Yad Rama. And that's perhaps another vision of Chametz and Matzah, Chametz and Dvash as I've arrived. Thank you very much, and the other one I'm still becoming. One idea is sufficient, I think. I don't want to take... Well, we have an obvious problem in this week's parsha, and that is that the order of the korbanot. There's a korban ola, and then what you would have expected, korban shlamim, and then mincha. It's not like that. Why is it ola, mincha, shlamim? Mincha is a meal offering. You'd have expected to get the meat out of the way, and mincha is, you know, the poor man's ola. It's not like that. And I think if we think about it, it's a very interesting role for the ola. What's common in the ola in mincha is that it is lechem gavoa. It is really meant for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shlamim is again the idea of I participating. I am joyful. I participate in the lechem gavoa. The ola and mincha have the common part that you are bringing yourself as only being part complete, and therefore that everything goes on the Mizbeach. The Kohanim eat the mincha, but only eat the asparagus or the izbeacha. The mincha is eaten by the kohanim as part of lechem gaboah, and it's got to be eaten by tisha and all the rest of it. So this is really the reason why it seems to be that all the korbanot, which are korbanot of donation, which are indicating that you are giving yourself to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are mentioned first, and that's Olah and Milcha, whereas the Korban Shlamim, which shows that you are more whole with yourself and with the thing, again, celebratory, that is almost a different state of mind, and that is why that is kept separate, because that seems to be the right thing. Olah and Milcha are often mentioned together in the Nevi'im as well, not Olah and Shlamim, but Olah and Milcha, and as we know, Ola and Mincha, the non-Jew is allowed to bring in Ola, he is not allowed to bring Shlomim and is not allowed to participate. Sorry. No, I think.
Boys, since I won't have an opportunity to do it next week. So I'll tell you, I had a few he'uras on the Hakuda, which, looking through this week, which I'll share with you, which are might be interesting for the Laila Seder. First of all, let's start from the very beginning. The four kashas are essentially answered by Rudi Muini Lefare B'Mitzrayim. I have four kashas, and on the face of it, some of the kashas are premature because the child is asking about two tibulim. And the two tibulim haven't happened yet. He's seen karpas because of a rechatz karpas beforehand. But he hasn't seen the mura and the charoises. So you may say that the child made an observation that there's charoises there on the table. And there's also Mura there, and they seem to make a big fuss of it, because Mura be'emsu, especially with Arizal's layout. And here he's speaking about a second tibble, which hasn't occurred. He spoke about the mitzvah of Mura. He's seen the Mura, but he hasn't actually seen it functionally, and to see that we've consumed it. He doesn't notice that a lot of preparation has been made with regards to the eradication of the arch enemy chometz, and that the only thing that's present on the Seder table is in fact the matzah. So he can ask about that. Shebchol ha'layla is uni oichin chometz imatzu, ha'layla haze kilo imatzu. Okay. Kiluni mesibin is also something which you can see is different, remarkably different. Here the person is eating the karpas, which is a shtiklirayah, and also the first of the four choices, which is incidentally lahaluchically leikuva, that if a person did not make his seba on the first course, there's every reason that he should have to drink it again and make another brucha. And therefore, we have to understand also what is with this about of Udim Uyini Lefarim Mitzrayim, which is going to suffice for four very, very strong observations about disparities that are made on the night of Pesach with the rest of the year. And it's very simplistically put, and this is something which makes a lot of sense if you want, without a lot of window dressing. The child sees that there are conflicting messages on the night of the Seder. On the one hand, we are celebrating Avdus, and there are things about it which indicate slavery, because we're eating the mura, and of course we've got salt water on the table as well, which symbolizes tears. We're also eating the matzah, which is the poor man's bread, and again indicating of slavery and difficult times, a very, very meager diet. And on the other hand, you've got the symbol of bitterness, which is l'choyre, also mura, showing you that you've got very, very bitter past, and we're remembering and commemorating that. At the same time, we're eating also besubim, we're eating leaning like rich men. How does all this also figure out and reconcile these messages? What is it? Are we celebrating freedom or are we celebrating servitude? And that is the answer of Avudim Yidin Lefaru B'Mitzrayim. That's exactly what the Balakut is saying to you. That in essence you should know that we are doing both at the same time. And your four kashas are valid. And your four kashas are taka too. Two of them are associated with avdus. Two of them are associated with chayras. You asked about matzah, that's the poor man's bread, that's avdus. You asked about bura, that's avdus. On the other hand, you spoke about the union of the supin, that's taka chayras. We're behaving like people who are wealthy and people who are leaning and are free. And basically, let's finish the kashas. The tipping, which is clearly something which is done by people who have got an opulent lifestyle, and therefore they dip before they eat because they've got lots of varieties of food. And that's what Balakud answers. Avudim u'ini lefara b'mitzrayim, that's the nekid of avdus. And I'm addressing that. You're absolutely right. Avudim u'ini lefara b'mitzrayim. But also, v'yotzi'ayni Hashem elekayni misham, we are also celebrating the nekid of chayres. And in those few short, succinct words, we've answered all four of the four kashas. You asked about the conflict, it's taka too. But we are celebrating at the same time both elements of the Seder, the Chaylika Avdus and the Chaylika Chayres. And therefore, agam, that in greater detail we go to all of them and we say, Matzah zishu ni'ochlim al shemur, Mura zishu ni'ochlim al shemur. And we go into much, much greater detail to explain why the nitty-gritty of the answers of all these things. But really, in essence, the words of Avudim Uyini Lefar B'Mitzrayim, one, Vayotzi'ayni Hashem Elekayni Mishom, two, answers all four kashas. Which brings us on to the next part. There's always a follow-on and a connection between one part of the memra of the Balaguda and the next part of the Balaguda. So agam that we just take it for granted, it flows, and we know that the story goes like this, and that we've got the meaning of Maslo Bignis, Messiah Meshvach, because that's already the Gemura and maybe the Mishnah. But when we speak about Mitzvu Leini Lesape Bitzis Mitzrayim, V'chol Amar B'Lesape Bitzis Mitzrayim, Al Rei Zeh Meshibach, then what follows on immediately afterwards with Maaseh B'Rableze is a riot to what the Aguda concluded with at the end. Because he says, even kiluni chachumim, kiluni zkainim, kiluni miyodim asatoyro, that's exactly what the next Mishnah is referring to. The Maaseh B'Rableze, Reb Shir, Be'eluz Ben Azariah, are all just that. Kiluni chachumim, kiluni nevoinim, kiluni miyodim asatoyro, the greatest titans of the time of the Mishnah, well, they're all sitting and speaking about the Aguda, when in fact, if you look at it in small print, you'll see that not one of them is actually relevant to the story. Because either they are Bnei Gairim, like Reb Kiva, or they are come from Shevet Levi, which means that they're Kehanim, which were certainly not part of the servitude. And if you go through one by one, Reb Lezer, Beshiva, Luz, Reb Tavish, I don't want to do now because it takes too much time, but you'll find that none of them are relevant, and notwithstanding all that, they spent right up until the early morning, to the crack of dawn, to speak about Zipitzis Mitzrayim. So therefore, the conclusion of Avudim Uyini Lefaroi is the lead-on to the Maaseh of Reb Lezer and Reb Shir, because even though they all were Yodim HaTorah, and they all Chachumim, and they all Nevoinim, so I'm bringing you a backup story to confirm this. That was the mouse of Reb Lezer B'Shimon Tzav, they're all there, and the Masibim B'nai Barak, and the Masaprim B'tzis Mitzrayim Kol Ois Halayim. While we're there, it's worthwhile saying, what's the Lushan Havareize Meshubach, when really, according to the literal, how to say grammatically, it would be more correct to say, Hareize Yeshubach, he should be praiseworthy. Hareize Meshubach means that he is praiseworthy. So the word of Meshubach means that, according, I think Sfasema says this as well, that really the mitzvah of the night of Pesach is Maschel Bignis Messiah Meshvach, but there's also the big mitzvah of Chayev Udom Lirois Es Atzmoy Ki'ili Hi Yutzim Mitzrayim. It's a formidable undertaking. Every person sits down to the Seder and he sees that he is evolving. He is actually transcending time, and he himself is actually part of this experience. This experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not Yetziu Mi Mitzrayim, as was mentioned yesterday by the Darshan, but Yetzias Mitzrayim means that each person goes out from his own personal constraints, von seiner eigenen Engschaften, from his own Mitzurim, the things that are chaining him, that are shackling him down to this world. And therefore, the Meshubach is saying, you've got two different people. The person that gets it over and done with quickly, that means that it doesn't mean that much to him. But the person who spends a long time in extending the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Meshubach, means that it's indicative of the actual person. When he spends so much time in the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, he's showing that he is an Udom Meshubach, not that he is praiseworthy. It's telling you something about the person himself. And Meimeila, that's the Lushan of Meshubach. There was a famous story that was once in Me'etzes, where Me'etzes Gedoyle HaTorah sat I think it was in the time of the Bais Asur and the Ponevi Jeruf. And there were a few Talmidim who were there at the time, and the gate crashed on because they had an opinion which they wanted to vent. And when they entered the room, and there was a whole commotion because it's unusual for Bucharim to go and give their opinion, especially when Gedoyle Olam was sitting there. And then when they finally got them out of the room, so the Bais Asur smiled. So I think it was the Al Sadiqer Rebbe asked him what was the reason that the Ger Rebbe was smiling. So he says, it's verämpft geworden, Akasha. He always had difficulty. What was it necessary in the story of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shir, Rabbi Talfon, Rabbi Luzer ben Azariah to mention that they were Mesibim ben Bnei Barak? But then he also had the question is, can you imagine when Talmidim of this caliber are sitting? And then the pupils come and they visit them and they say, oh, by the way, you know, Shintzatzim Davan, Medav Kain Lein and Krishma. He says, do you really think that people of this caliber didn't know that was Man Krishma? So he says, did they need the Talmidim to tell them? So he says, but now you've got the answer. The Balaguda tells you that the story happened in Bnei Barak. Since it happened in Bnei Barak, that's usually the way that it works, operates there. So here also, but the Meir says, was the same story. So, no, it's not so really, because the truth is that it shows you that the actual Talmudim was so involved in the that's the push of Pshat, they were so involved in the mitzvah of Sipi Mitzrayim that they were so part of it. In fact, reflecting what we said earlier about the Chayim Udom Lira says Atzmoy, that if you would have spoken to the by the way, the Gemara says that it says Lailu Kayoim Yue, that in the night which the Eden went out to Mitzrayim, that night was shining like day. The brightness and the bunch of we say by Hivachtsia Lailu that there was part of the half of a night which actually shone with the brightness of day. If they were Bakaim, the mitzvah of Chayv and Amlira says Atzmoy, therefore the brightness which they were there at that moment, which they were relating to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to them there was no difference between night and day, and therefore the Talmidim had to come and indicate to them and say to them, Rabbi Yisrael, but that's a version. Which brings us on to the next one. Reb Luzer ben Azariah. I'm just mentioning Ha'uras, which I had at the time, and I'm just sharing them. But they're not structured and they're not prepared, so you forgive me for the discombobulation of it all. But
what?
Discombobulation.
That's not exist the word.
Check the it's not in the American dictionary, but in the British dictionary. Anyway, it's Christoph Yetz. Reb Luzer ben Azariah. And then you've got the famous limit. So I'll tell you small Eura, which I had in the name of the Vilna Gaon, which is nice. The Gemara says that in the same way that by Mamad HaSinai everybody was actually got a Refiah Shleimah, and every single Eva or something, any ailment that they were suffering from, they were healed. And similarly, in the time when Mashiach will come, that the Gemara also mentions will be exactly the same, that when Yidden, whoever it is, that it will be sick, they will be Nisrapi like they were by Mamad HaSinai. Then the Gemara says on, but there's one exception. That exception is the Nuchash HaKadmoini. Old Snakey, who was involved in the very first Chet by Udom HaRishon, the Rebbe Shlomo's grievance against him is so deep that he's going to remain the same. He's going to have all the clues that he had. And amongst them was that anything that he's consuming is going to have the taste of earth. In fact, the Rebbe Rabbeinu from Shisra used to mention on that. Why is it considered a clue? Wherever he goes, he's got what to eat. But the Rebbe Shlomo says, Nada fres, eat as much as you want. I just don't want to hear your tefillahs. And that's the worst clue of all that the Rebbe Shlomo doesn't want to hear. The snake. So that's the clue, but that's not what we're referring to. It says, that means he can eat the greatest delicacies and get a prey that is freshly hunted and it will taste of earth exactly the same, there will be no difference. That animal, that serpent, that reptile, that snake, he will stay the same after Mashiach comes as well. It says the Vilna Gaon, it's beautiful, because it says, and the Gemur just mentioned here, Kol Yimachayecho Lehuvi Lemois HaMashiach. So Kol Yemei Chayecho is saying that even after Mashiach will come, the Nuchash will stay the same, because he dashes it from V'ofa Toichal Kol Yemei Chayecho. A tear from the Vilna Gaon, but it's very good.
Yeah. Very good.
Takes you on to Buch Hamukoy, Buch Hi, Buch Shantus, Ram Yisrael B'Ruchi, and then it says Kenegad Abu Bune. Very, very simply, Al Pi Pshat, you've got the four repetitions of the word Buruch, Buruch Hamukoy, Buruch Hi, Buruch Shalusun Teurul Am Yisrael, Buruch Hi. So those four Buruchs have to represent something. And that's what the Balaguda says. Keneged al Bu'obunim. And what's the big blessing that you've got a son who's a Rusha? And to that, written in the name of many different sources I saw, was the fact that, especially the Lubavitcher Rebbe is Mitzayin, this Nakida, that as long as the son is still coming to the Seder, even if he's a Rusha, you can consider yourself blessed. Because that means that he somehow is relating to it. But the moment that there's a fifth son who doesn't appear at the Seder altogether, and he's somewhere far, far away, and you have no idea what is his fate, then it's Nishtar Zahamatzef in Buruch. So you're blessed. And there's also an additional thing to it, because it says, Buruch Hamukha Buruch Hi, Keneged Abur Bunim Dibu Teure, the Rebbe Yehuda is telling you a Moira Diki Yesod, that in case you sometimes wonder, people go into the JLE and they sit down and they've got no Shaykhs with Yiddishkeit and they sit down to Gemur and Bubba Kama and they're taught Abur Bisnezikken about oxen and about donkeys and Zaleben Hof and somehow it seems to reach them. And that means that the Torah, the Moorshe Boyach Ziren in the middle, there's a certain light, a certain radiance of Torah that seems to penetrate and reach their soul. Why it's like that, we don't understand. And that's what it means. Keneged arbo bunim dibru Torah. You've got four different sons, a chuchem, a rushe, a tamish, a yedelishel, but the Torah has, de facto, a language which reaches every single one of them in their own way. We're not sure how and understand why it reaches them, but the fact is that they do ignite and they're tzmeim ledvar Hashem. Which explains the Buruch Hamukoy, which we said. Stamazai, I just remembered now that since we're speaking about the Tom. Okay, so we go on from there, and we'll say that we've got a Chuchom, a Rushe, a Tam, Shein Yedei Elisha. And now the Balaguda again, as we said, follows on. And he elaborates. We spoke about the Chuchum. What's the essence of the Chuchum? Very briefly, he says, succinctly afterwards, he brings the Rusha. And the Rusha says, and what's the huge distinction between the two? Because the Chuchum says, so the Rebbe Shlomo appears and it's my God. But the Rusha has got an absence of that altogether. He just says, Mu'avoidu azois lochem. By the way, the Pusik, which the Torah says, by the Rusha is, Ki yomri aleichem benaichem, v'hoyu ki yomri aleichem benaichem. Once you, the son is not asking you, but the son is telling you, then it's a different story. And it's in the asking mode, then you've got something to answer. When the moment the son is telling you, listen carefully, because he's not asking you, he's telling you. And when he's telling you, it's like, ganz andere Masse. And there's a diet there from the Brisker Ruf, which he speaks about the Gemara in Gittin Daf Niyam Vuv, says that the whole story which we learn on Tisha B'Av about Titus Arusha, and he came into the Beis Hamikdash and he tried to defile the Beis Hamikdash in his own sordid way, and there, after he'd done that, he went up to the Peroiches and he took his sword and he slashed one of the Peroiches, and the Gemara says V'hoye mevatz feitz dam, that blood actually poured out of the of this viloin, of this Peroiches, of this tapestry. Kusucha, says the Gemara, and this chuchem, this tippish, shehurages atzmoi. So the Gemara speaks about shehurages atzmoi, which really essentially means that he thought that he'd killed God. Pah! Einstein. Because the Rebbe Shlomo made a nest for him, so he thought blood came out. So the Bris Geruf says that the word shehurages atzmoi is synonymous, that seems to apply, that it's referring to the Rebbe Shlomo. And therefore, you can understand, he says the Bris Geruf, that with the Ben Arusha, the whole Nekidah, and the whole point that we actually specify by the Ben Arusha is that the Rebbein Shlolem is absent from the whole Parsha. Mu'avoytu azoyz luchem, luchem b'loy loy. Sukte balagude lefi shahoytzi es atzmoy min haklol. The word of es atzmoy is referring to the Rebbein Shlolem, and that's what's absent there, because the Rebbein Shlolem is not appearing in his question. He says, so we can understand from that, since the Rebbein Shlolem is not there, therefore, kufa beike. You can see that the Rebbein Shlolem is absent, is kufa beike.
5 minutes,
Halach Hilch Shabbos. Okay. Only Hilch Shabbos,
only Agudah.
Okay, so I carry on with this.
So then, Halach Shabbos, I'll become the Agudah.
Halach Shabbos. Okay. So then, you've got... So we have the Ben Arusha Lohi Vilat Makufa Be'ika. Av Atu Hakes Shinov. Everybody knows the gematria there with Chucham, and if you take away the
difference,
the difference between the. I won't go there. Okay, so let's go to more Yisoidus Tikim Shafins. Ba'av Eze Usra Shem Li B'tzaisim Yitzroim Li Loi Loi Ili Hoy Shom Loi Hoyu Nigo. Which is, this is one of the parts which I always have difficulty to appreciate and to understand, that in, especially in this day and age where we have an embracing hand, we have a small doiche, yamin mekareves, that the Balaguda goes about it and says, allusion of Hilcha Hoysikas, and Makdal, therefore, Hake es Shinov, Vaimeloi Baveze, Uswa Shem Li, Bezaisim Mitzrayim, Liveloi Loi, Ili Hoyusham Loi Hoyuniga. There is a mahalach on that, a nice mahalach, but it's going to take a lot more than 5 minutes, so I'm going to go on to the next one. Okay. Stam al smitzah de b'dicha, so we didn't start with one, but apparently they say that the four sons are merimas on four different balachoyv, because even though for every borrowing money, so remember the first one is chucham, and then the pusik says, lo ilach achum im lechem, that they never got what to eat, so remember has to come to borrow money. The Rusha is loy verusha veloy yeshalem. The Pusik says that the Rusha always is forever borrowing and he never pays back, so therefore he's also stuck, can't get the loan. Tom means it's finished. Tom HaKesef, that it's all over. Shain Yedai Lishol, Zukmanot Shnashnvim to borrow, because he hasn't got who to take from, because nobody else was loaning him any money. But that's Shmekayim Gewesen, but... Now the question is, Yuchel Merosh Chodesh. Who says Yuchel Merosh Chodesh? What's the Havamina? What's the Balaguda saying here? So, before we go on to Yuchel Merosh Chodesh, the Balaguda has actually said at this point that we've got the mitzvah, the Sapi Yibitzias Mitzrayim, and he says, to who? And then he goes on to say, it's all inclusive. There's four sons, and every one of them has to be addressed. Keneged Abubu Medibu Torah, as we mentioned earlier, that the Torah is actually referring to the four sons. And now, the Yuchel Merosh Chodesh is touched that. When is the mitzvah applicable? We realize to whom it's applicable and we know what the mitzvah is. And that's only the only two derisas that there are on Pesach Nacht are just that. One is a Masa Achile and the other one is a Masa Sipif Mitzvah. And all the others are all Medrabuno, even more. So he asks the question, Yuchoy Merosh Chodesh, what's the Havamina that I would have thought from Rosh Chodesh? So he says that Talmud Loima Bayoimahi. What does it mean Bayoimahi? But really, the Mefoshim add here that because we say Achodesh Hazeh Lochem Yeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hilochem Chodesh Hashunu. So there's a huge introduction there that's speaking about the mitzvahs which are going on. And in fact, the first Rashi in the whole of the Torah says that the first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. So perhaps we would have thought that all the appertaining mitzvahs which are there regarding the Korban, Pesach, the Akrufa, Sipetis Mitzrayim, and Achilas Matzah should be from Achodesh Hazeh Lochem Yeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. And there's a Hava Mina. So he says, do you know that there's a Miyat, and the Miyat comes to tell you by Yomahi that it's not on Rosh Chodesh. Says, okay, so then let's start early. Why not on the 14th? But then you've got the Achim, and you've got the Rakim, and the Gemur, which explains that, no, you cannot have it as long as the Sishchat Al-Chumat Stam Zivri. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach is the clincher, that's the ace card, and therefore as long as the Korban Pesach is not, how so to speak, potentially edible, then you can't have the mitzvah of Sipitis Mitzrayim. Aye, so he says, but the Korban Pesach, you're being makir b'chatzos. So let's start Sipitis Mitzrayim then. There's even dias that halal is no good ready from chatzos. So he says, yes, but the mitzvah of Sipitis Mitzrayim is only b'shul shem yesh matzu imur minuchim lefonecho, and you can actually consume the mederech mitzvah. So the Balaguda is clarifying the zman, the time. When are you supposed to do it? Only when the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is noyik to be eaten. And therefore all the psikim indicate that the mitzvah of Yitzis Mitzrayim and Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim are all appertaining to those particular mitzvahs. We'll just finish off with V'hisha Omdu, because it was just briefly. V'hisha Omdu l'abasayni v'luni sh'loi echot b'lvad u'ma adonai nilacha l'asayni. So, that's so very beautifully from Pesach Kroni. He wrote there that he had a little child who was his einikli there by the side, and he was very overwhelmed because as he just come back from a trip from Poland, so he noticed that this little boy, and he'd been just very recently to Auschwitz, to Birkenau, and to Sobibor, and to all these places, and he looked at this child and thought to himself, who knows what's going to be with this child? This einikli. The world is in such a state of turbulence, and the world is in such a state of upheaval, and ISIS from one side, and wars raging throughout the whole entire globe, everything is, and so he picked up the child, he put the child, asked if he wants to sit on his Zayda's lap, took the child, put it on his lap, and then he writes in his book, he just burst out uncontrollably and wept, because he thought to himself, I'm holding this little boy, a Yiddish kid. And then he saw the words, V'hi sha'omdu la'vasayni v'luni shloi echot b'lvad u'madulay nelacha l'asayni. It's takachu, but at the end of the day, netzach Yisroel lo yishake. And the last part of it is, V'akudosh Baruch Hu matzilayni miyudom, that the irony is, that the Rebbeinu Shlom has shown, not only that and ultimately that they're delivered, but the way that they're delivered is that the Rebbeinu Shlom will take an Esther Amalko and place her inside the palace of Achashverosh. And she'll be the source of the salvation of the Yiddish nation. He'll take a Moshe Rabbeinu and he'll put him into the palace of Paroi. And Paroi will stand be there with all his various servants and maidservants, and they'll be looking after this prince who's going to be the Moshiach Shel Yisroel. And in the more recent history, the two primary suspects, the ones which the Germans, the Nazis, Yimach Shimon were looking for, the two Wunder Rabbinas was the Belzeruf and the Gerer Rebbe, which were on the top of the hit list that they wanted to get as soon as they came into Poland. And the ones that escorted the Gerer Rebbe out of Warsaw towards Trieste on a motorbike, which had a sort of passenger seat next to them, and his face was wrapped up in scarves, was one of the senior Nazi SS officials who actually drove him out towards Trieste. And little did he know that the person who's sitting next to him is the rabbi who's on the top of the hit list that they wanted to get. V'akudosh Baruch Hu matzilayni miyudom. Miyudom means from their hands, which means that the goy and the son himself will be the source of salvation for the Yid, and the Yid. The Yid will be saved as a result of the hands of the Goy.